So this morning, the second name we're going to look at is to know Jehovah Mekadesh. Who of you have heard this name before? Just Jehovah. All right, so you're in for... can I just excuse me? I need wind. It's hot up here. How does the band do this and not melt? Yeah, that's amazing. Okay, but Lorette shared with us last week to know God, and she started off by saying, if you know a person's name, it doesn't mean that you know them. You know, you might know a lot of people's names, but do you really know them in the same way that I know my wife, or that you know your wife or your husband? How well do you know? And the fact that I can call them by name doesn't mean that I know everything about them. And that in order to do that, there's a closeness, there's a relationship, there's a walking together that needs to happen in order to know who that person is. And the reality is that God wants to and is always calling us closer. He wants us to come closer to Him so that we can know Him. So that our knowledge of Him is not just hearsay. That we actually have an experience. I think this is one of the trickiest things, even as a parent, is that as you walk with your children, you know, we walk with God in a certain way. We believe for certain things, and we see the miracles and the stuff happening, and they're watching and all the rest of it. But there's a point where they have to start that journey with their God on their own, where they have to experience Him and know Him, and not just the hearsay, not just our testimonies and what we share, but they are actually experiencing God and walking with Him. And it's a journey. But for each one of us sitting here, we are in a different place in terms of our relationship with God and how we've experienced Him. You know, I was speaking to someone in the week about something, and I had to say to him, listen, this is my faith where I have been with the Lord. I have trusted Him for these things in the past, and I've seen His mighty hand come through in various ways. So I know I can trust Him here. But you are on this journey now where you have to wait. You have to walk. You have to journey with Him. You have to see the miracle happen in your own life. So, you know, I can't just force my faith on you and say, you must believe this. I can give you scripture, I can lead you to Him and in a relationship with Him, but it's as you step out in faith and trust Him that you will see the miracles. Now, here's the thing, there is that stepping out in faith. It's that standing on the ledge, you know, and there's nothing there, and you have to, you know, abseiling. Who of you have done abseiling? Bunch of crazy people. I don't know how you get yourself to go, heck no, in the rope, which I don't have. So, near, or the other guy that's holding you. But here's the thing, when we walk with God, there is that stepping out. And it's as you step out and you see that God is there, that you experience Him, that it's not hearsay anymore, it becomes a reality to you. It becomes a testimony. And that's what our testimonies are, is that as I've walked by faith, now I can testify of His greatness. So listen, if we say, does anyone have a testimony? You must now be very careful. Because if you say, I don't have a testimony, it only means this, that I have not stepped out in faith. That I've sort of taken my ship, anchored in the harbor and saying, Lord, I'm waiting till You come. Okay, so everybody does this. Step out in faith. All right. In Scripture, we see a marriage relationship described as you know, the relationship between God and His church. And that is not a long-arm relationship. A marriage relationship that Jesus is passionate about His bride. So He wants to draw us closer. Okay, His desire is that we will know Him that intimately that you cannot do it from a distance. Okay, so no distance loving of the Lord. It is canceled due to a lack of interest. We want to become intimate with our God. So as you engage Jehovah Jireh, as you engage Jehovah Mekadesh, And next week we're going to look at Jehovah Shalom. As you walk with the Lord, see, you know, pursue that intimacy, that special moment, that walking with Him in a way that you have never walked before. Now, most of you said you know the word Jehovah. Now, Jehovah is translated as the existing one or Lord. The chief meaning of Jehovah is derived from the Hebrew word Hava, meaning to be or to exist. Sorry, it also suggests to become, or specifically to become known. So we serve a God who is very keen to reveal Himself to each one of us. That is awesome, because we don't serve a God that is far, that doesn't want to come close to us, but He consistently and wants to reveal Himself to us. Now, this should be encouraging to you, that God wants to reveal Himself to you. Now, some of you might be sitting here saying, but Kobus, that ceiling, man, my prayers go to the ceiling and bounce back, and then you have this hopping thing, and nothing's happening. And here's the thing. As you continue praying, as you continue pursuing God, that He is more willing to reveal Himself to you than what you are in stepping out in faith. Sometimes we are scared to step out in faith, but the reality is God is standing there, and He is Jehovah, the one who wants to reveal Himself to you, the existing one, the Lord, the Almighty God. He wants to reveal Himself to you in ways you have never seen before. Now, many of us sit here and you've been serving God for a long time, but your experience of God is this big. The reality is He wants to take it there. He wants to lead us to the next level. Now, Makadesh is derived from the Hebrew word Kodash, meaning sanctify, holy, or dedicated. And sanctification, we know, is the separation of an object or person to the dedication of the holy. In other words, if it's set apart, if it is sanctified, then it is for the purpose of being holy. So if you combine these two words, it's the Lord that sets us apart, or the Lord that sanctifies us. Now, just for a moment, just pause there. Just think of what that means for you. If He's the Lord that sets you apart, what does that mean to you? Now, while you're pondering that, I want to ask you a question. What is your pattern of rest? Just, what is your pattern of rest? Okay. I have one honest person in the church, all right? But what is your pattern of rest? And you'll see why I asked that question just now. And so, can I ask a question? Other question? Do you consider Sunday to be a holy day? And if you do, what does that mean to you? What is a Sunday to you? Is it just another day? Is it a religious day? Is it, you know, a day that I go to church and then whatever happens, I go back and I work further or whatever? What is a Sunday to you? And is it holy? This struck me when I thought about this. Is a Sunday holy to me? And if it is, what does that mean? Or is it just, like I say, some, you know, tradition, religious habit? Why do I do Sunday? I don't know. Maybe that's your answer. Now, looking at Jehovah Makadesh, it's quite interesting the context in which I find it. It struck me how deliberate our God actually is, that even His names display who He is and what is important to Him. You know, for most of us, we've never heard this word before, which means, I guess, that we do not know God in this way. So hopefully, God will bring some revelation to us. So to know God in this way is to, it suggests and it actually implores us to walk before Him in this way. To know Jehovah Makadesh implores me to walk in Him, walk before Him in this way. Now, let's look at that. It's Exodus 31. It's where it's found. It's found in two scriptures. This is the first one. Exodus 31, verse 12 to 14a, I didn't put 14b in, and it says, "And the Lord said to Moses, you are to speak to the people of Israel and say, above all, you shall keep my Sabbaths. For this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you." That's Jehovah Makadosh. "You shall keep the Sabbath because it is holy." But Kobus, this is Old Testament. What is going on here now? Now, I just want to lift out a few things here. As God speaks to the Israelites at this point, he says to them, above all. What does above all mean? Slightly above some things. You know, maybe all things. We can think about it. Whew. So, yeah, exactly. So he says, above all, I want you to keep my Sabbaths. Why? He says, because it's a sign between me and you. Sounds like covenant here to me, you know? He says, listen, I want you to, above all, keep my Sabbath. I want you to stay on this. Why? Because it's a sign and between me and you throughout your generations. So it's not just the sign between me and you. It's a sign between me and you that are coming. Actually, attention is here. Focus here. Okay? And then he goes on, he says, that you may know. That you may know. So this is the revelation that as you keep the Sabbaths, that you will know that I am the Lord that sanctifies you. So there's a purpose to walking before God in this way. He's saying to the Israelites, as you walk in this way before me, there's a process of sanctification. There's a process of setting apart that is happening here between me and you. And then he says, you shall keep the Sabbath because it is holy for you. In other words, there's an intentionality on my part to set it apart. Because it's a sign between me and him. So why do I do Sunday? Again. So when God instituted the Sabbath, it was an indication of God's favor on them. In other words, God didn't go to the world at that point and say, this is my Sabbath, keep it. He specifically spoke to his chosen nation saying, I want you to serve me in this way. You have my favor. I am inviting you in to who I am, into my process of sanctification, my setting apart of, I'm inviting you in there. And I'm not inviting, there's a certain sense, of, I guess, of exclusivity here, that God is saying, listen, I'm inviting you in. It was a sign that he has chosen them for, as his people. The keeping of the Sabbath was an indication of their devotion and obedience to him. So now it's the other side. He's inviting them in to this process, into this space where he wants them to keep his Sabbath, this day of rest. But in the same way as they were keeping it, it was the sign to the world that they were his servants. It was telling the world that he is our God. See, if it wasn't so, he wouldn't have revealed to them his holy Sabbath, his way of resting and coming into his peace. God, by sanctifying this day among them, let them know that he sanctified them and set them apart for himself and his service. So for us, when we keep the day of rest, when we keep the Sabbath, when we do the Sunday, we are declaring to the world a few things. And you see, but we don't think about it this way. We don't think about it this way. That this is actually, this us gathering here is a testimony of who our God is. Who the Lord is that we are serving. Okay? That we are the servants of the Most High God. The God who created all things. Who is able to do all things. To whom nothing is impossible. We are declaring that we are His servants. And that He has chosen us. That He is separating us. That He is setting us apart. That He is sanctifying us. Even through this process. We worship the God. This is what we declare. We worship the God who made all things in 6 days. And then He rested. So we are following His example. We are saying, Lord, You created everything. And then You rested. In other words, I'm obeying Your original instruction. Something that I think in this world is not happening. Rest is optional extra and then it's cancelled due to a lack of interest. Mm-hmm. Nah? Mm-hmm. You see, keeping this day is a sign between Him and us that He has sanctified our hearts. And that we are assigned to His service. Now Exodus 20 verse 9 to 11 says, the 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. Unless you want to do otherwise. You can do whatever you want. Oh, no, that's a different translation. It says, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. And then verse 11, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. I guess, what is my response when I hear God saying that it's a holy day? Am I able to say, I submit fully to what you are saying here? Or is this an Old Testament thing that we no longer have to keep? But you see, as far as I understand it, God is yesterday and today and tomorrow, He's the same. So if He's the God of rest, who instituted a day of rest, why would it be different now? In my short lifetime on this earth, I have found out and figured out that the sun sets for a reason. And the fact that I can put on a light doesn't mean that I can work. That there's a day of rest because my body actually needs it. Now, it says there's 6 days. And Scripture is normally quite specific. If it were supposed to be nights, it would have said, there's 6 days and nights you shall labor. But He's not doing that. He's saying, listen, 6 days you shall labor. And then you shall do as I did and rest. See, this rest that we engage is not a passive rest. It's not so gefrek, you know, that you have to have CPR on a Monday morning to get up. Okay? All the men now goes, yeah, man, goes. You know, we just want to have that zombie status. But you see, what the Sabbath allows us, rest God's way will allow me to see Him, to interact with Him, to just sort of reboot, if I can call it that way, as I focus on Him in that day. That rest will remove distractions and stuff from our lives and cause us to see Him. You know, to have that moment where I again go, Father, this week coming, I've got no idea what's going to happen, but I submit it to You. Where I just come again and lay my life before Him and say, Father, as I rest, I thank You that You've got this. Because here's our problem with rest normally. is if I don't do it, it's not going to happen. And even in faith, as I trust God that I'm resting, I'm stepping out in that space where I'm saying, but Lord, you've got this. You order my days. You determine how my future is going to look. You've got everything planned, and I submit to you as I rest. So I'm stepping out in faith, saying, I trust you. I fully trust you. You know, when I still had my plumbing business, I remember the day that I decided I'm not doing 24-hour service anymore. And it wasn't because I was lazy that I made that decision. But in my journey with God, I had this revelation that God is my source. And that because He's my source, the fact that I can work 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, does not determine the provision that is coming to my life. You see, I had the revelation that if God cannot bless me between 8 and 5, if I do all I can in those hours and trust Him to prosper me in those hours, then there's nothing that I can do in the following hours through the night that will make me more successful. And at that point, I made the call not to do any 24 hours. I was the only plumber in Cape Town that you could not phone in the night. If you did, please leave a message. You see, because I purposed in my heart that He is my source. And the other thing that was precious to me is at that point, as I said, Father, I am a husband to my wife and a father to my children, and I want to be there. Now, if you've ever owned your own business, no work, no pay. You know, the one thing about business that is always there is, come on, buddy, you need to push it. You know, get that contract, get that next deal. You need to work, because you need to. Because, you see, every month with your own business, when the first of the month comes, you start at zero. There's no rollover cash, there's no bank. If you're a small one-man business, I never had money in the bank. I don't know why. Maybe I just spend it too well. But you see, I had to journey with God. And again, that's my faith. My revelation of who God is. But I chose at that point to trust Him as Jehovah Jireh fully. To be a lover to my wife. A husband. A father to my kids. And was it tough when you get here close to the end of the month and the bank balance says, you won't hear. No moolah. You know how many times I saw God make up my entire budget in between 5 and 3 days? It's insane. I cannot tell you how it works. But it did. Some months I had to take my salary a bit later. I still got my salary. Because He is the God who can do anything. All right? So as I rest, as I trust Him, as I walk with Him, He removes the distractions, the things that are competing for my attention, and I am focusing on Him. The second scripture that it appears in is Leviticus 20, verse 7 to 8. And again, another interesting context in which this name actually comes. It says, consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy. For I am the Lord your God. Keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. And again, let's look at that scripture. It says, consecrate yourselves. In other words, this is a deliberate action from me to actually even set myself apart. To trust Him enough to set myself apart. It says, consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy. Why? For I am the Lord your God. So if you are saying, Lord, you are the Lord my God, what is the immediate result? Consecration and being holy. You see, we are not called to have this lukewarm, mediocre Christianity. We are called to be holy. Holy means stopping at the stop street. Not a comma. It's not, we have a theory The slower a person drives in a 60 zone, the less they stop at a stop street. We have tested it. It is true. Most people that don't drive 60, if they drive 50, I can tell you now he won't stop at that stop street. Why? Because he's slow enough. Stopping is not required. He comes now, see what's going on. Sorry for stepping on some toes there. It's like this, it's like 60. You know, 60 is 60. 60 is not 69. Why? You're supposed to be holy. Sorry, rabbit trail. But here's the thing that always gets me with small things like that, is I think of when the people try to get stuff against Daniel to remove him from office. Scripture says they could find nothing except his religion. No? And then they passed a law which outlawed the fact that he was worshipping Jehovah to be able to throw him in the lion's den. And how did that work out for them? So for me, when I think about these things, so if my accusers comes against me, will they be able to find anything against me? Tough question. So I'll be watching the stop street stopping. Okay. So consecrate yourselves therefore and be holy, for I am the Lord your God. Keep my statutes, keep my instructions, keep what I am saying to you, and think about them. Why did he put that word in there? It's not optional extra. It's because I'm declaring you are my God and I will do what you say. I'm obeying you. Ja, but grace, Kobus, grace does not excuse disobedience. He is still a holy God. He still expects obedience. Who of the parents here expect your children not to be obey you? Can you raise your hands quickly? What's wrong with you? If they don't obey you, they can at least do what they want, right? You expect obedience of your children, yet we want to negotiate with our father why we're not obeying him. Verstaan jy? Double standards. What is that testimony to the world? Okay? So keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord who sanctifies. And again, this process of sanctification is happening in an environment where I am obeying and walking according to his instructions. Where I am understanding what he is saying to me and I am doing them. So this is not the pastor saying, thou shalt do this. This is a space where you have to walk before your Father in a such a way that you are honoring Him and worshiping Him. So to know Jehovah Mekadesh means I consecrate myself to be holy. Because He is my God and He is holy. It means that I keep His statutes and His commandments. In other words, I obey all that He says. But that's my relationship before Him. In doing so, he sanctifies me. He sets me apart as his own. Then the world will see that I know the God who made all things in 6 days. And they have to recognize that the God that I serve, because there's lots of gods out there with lots of rules and stuff. But in doing this, I am proclaiming to the world who is the God that I'm actually. I am recognizing and acknowledging the fact that he made all things. It's not a big bang or anything. If I keep this day, it's a testimony that I recognize him as the creator. And he is the Lord of my life. Through the process of obedience, I am set apart. I am sanctified for his service. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 19 says this, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." You see, we quote that first part so often. But the glorification of God happens where? When I take this body somewhere. When I take this body to where He wants me to go. When I obey the unctioning and the leading of the Holy Spirit to go on missions, to go testify, to tell someone about Jesus, to do all sorts of things as the Spirit leads me. Because I am glorifying God in this body. Now this body has to stop at a stop street. I have trained it like that. This body has to drive at 60 or 80 or 120. Lord, help us when they change it to 100. I'm not sure. This body is going to struggle. You see, but this body obeys when He says, "I want you to pray for that person." Now, when we even said, you know, maybe minister to one another, you went, and that's okay. Maybe that's where you are with the Lord. But I encourage you to walk with Him. You see, Jehovah Makedesh bought you for a price. He sent His Son because He wants to sanctify you. He wants to set you apart. He paid for you with His blood. A very high price for you to be holy. You are His, and your life is a testimony to the world that He is your God. To know Jehovah Makedesh is to be sanctified, set apart by Him and for Him. To worship Him by keeping His day of rest, not my day. So let's consecrate ourselves as we worship God in this way. Now, like I said, when I started preparing and I was thinking through this, it challenged me in my rhythms and the way that I see things and engage stuff, which brings me to the space where I have to deliberately decide how I will walk this road out before me over the next season. Is it go, 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 go? Or do I actually, even in what I'm doing today, want to testify who my God is? This is the declaration to the world that we are His sons. The way that we want to love one another, that's what Scripture says. The world will know that we are His disciples because of our love for one another. So we love one another to be here. And being here, we as a collective are declaring the glories of God. So how do we respond? Well, I guess the first thing to do is to repent if you have dishonored Him by not keeping this day. If you have dishonored Him by putting other stuff in there that became more important to Him, that your binge-watching of the soapy... Ooh, sorry, did I say that? Return to Him with full devotion of your life. It's no half measure, no almost. You see, if He bought your life for a price, it is not my life anymore, it's not your life anymore, it's His life. There's no half measure. There's no almost. That Scripture which says, you know, when they came to Jesus and said, yeah, but we drove out demons in your name and did all sorts of stuff, and He says, but I did not know you. That Scripture gets me. So in our walking before the Lord, our devotion before Him, may your devotion be sincere. May it be complete. May it be fully submitted to Him, not to a man or anyone else. Submit to His pattern of work and rest. How do we respond? Submit to his pattern of work and rest. And then there needs to be the discipleship moment where I lead others to him, where I go and make disciples and teach them about this God whom I serve, who made things in 6 days and then he rested. And then the last one, be holy as he is holy. Holy means to be set apart, that we are different from this world. We are not like this world, which means I cannot walk in this world anymore like I used to. We all talk about our BC days. I also know that God says you will be changed from glory to glory. You know, maybe there's the Holy Spirit is convicting you of stuff this morning. Don't now have an old fall down and a pity party. Repent. Repent means I'm walking in one direction, I'm turning 180 degrees and I'm walking away from that thing, never to repeat it again. So if you repent today, if you change your mind on how you are living, it means that you will live differently. But here's the powerful part. If you do this, Jehovah Makadesh will be made known to the world. They will see him, that there's something different on your life. If you have his pattern of rest, I can guarantee you they will go, "Hoekom is jy so rustig? You never freaked out. You're always so calm." It's because you know your God has got this and you can rest.